Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
How can it possibly be that federal overreach is a lightning rod topic in America? A true difference between conservatives and liberals. Conservatives can't stand federal overreach and like to see most decisions made at a local and state level. Today's liberals want the federal government to be the end-all, be-all authority for everything in your life. This is the biggest canyon between people and what really tears Americans apart. We'll talk about it at length today on KKHI. Also, Nancy Pelosi goes out to a big D.C. party with the California State Society, and she's the only one in the room without a mask on. Can you even imagine? Dr. Oz is running for the Senate in the great state of Pennsylvania. He's got a tremendous message. And in sports, Georgia versus Cincinnati and Alabama versus Michigan right now would be the college football playoff. But Oklahoma State sits at number 5. We'll break down their chances of getting in the CFP. The Chiefs activate a veteran lineman this week. Probably been the plan all along. And all kinds of swimming records are going down in college swimming by an unlikely swimmer. It's all ahead on KKHI. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, there's a really big Supreme Court case taking place. It is called Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi Women's Health Center. And essentially, it goes like this. In the state of Mississippi, there's only one abortion clinic left. It is a pink building. And at issue is a Mississippi state law that says you cannot get an abortion in Mississippi if your pregnancy is past 15 weeks. This seems reasonable to me. 15 weeks is almost 4 months. It's not quite halfway. But I think we all understand the difference between someone who's been pregnant for 4 months and someone who just got pregnant. I'm not going to get into the moral debate over abortions. I will tell you this. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. If I was a woman, I couldn't do it. And if it was a partner of mine, I can't say I couldn't allow it because I don't know how I would stop it. But I'm against it. I'm against abortion. I don't believe in it. I think it is very easy for any person that is old enough to procreate to keep from getting pregnant. And I think that ultimately is a responsibility that is taken very lightly in our society. And I think if we focused our attention on that in a variety of ways, we'd probably all be better off. I do think abortion is, you don't hear a lot of people talk about this, I think it's racist. It clearly disproportionately keeps black babies from being born. We see the statistics, they're overwhelming. There couldn't be anything more racist. If you want to talk about real racism in America and keeping blacks down or black Americans down, I can't think of anything more penal than all the black babies that are aborted every single year. As a percentage, it is staggering what we're doing to the African American community. But beyond the moral discussion, which is not today's discussion, the topic on the podcast really is federal overreach. And when we look at Roe versus Wade, and I know this is going to infuriate a lot of people, and I don't want to get into a big debate over abortion, the morality, whether it's right, whether it's wrong. Some people are in the middle and have a gray area and don't care. They kind of want to look the other way. There's no winning the argument. Nobody that ever believed in abortion ever changed somebody's mind who was against abortion. That just doesn't happen. It's a futile argument. People are dug in on this topic, so we're wasting time there. But what we can discuss is federal overreach. And what Roe versus Wade is, essentially, is a giant federal law or mandate that you will allow abortions. And there's nothing you do. So the states have taken this, and over the decades now, this happened in Roe v. Wade was in the 70s. What's happened over time is individual states have said, well, we have our own rights here and our own laws, and we're going to pass laws like Mississippi, which is as conservative as it gets. They don't want any abortion in Mississippi. They want it to be against the law. What they've been able to come up with is a law in Mississippi that says you can't have an abortion in this state after 15 weeks. To me, I think Mississippi has that right. I think the people of Mississippi, if they don't like it, can vote people out. The one thing that brings all people that are not liberal together is the federal government, the dislike of federal overreach, the dislike of one giant power that we are secluded from, that we are powerless against. I think most of us feel, most of us listening to this podcast believe we have some power and ability to change things at our school board, our city council, the municipality we live in, our county, and even our state. But I don't know too many people that think they can make a difference with the federal government. I don't know too many people that don't believe the last two elections were rigged. Most Democrats believe Trump cheated, and most Republicans believe the Democrats cheated to get Biden in. We've lost all faith in this country in our federal government. We think it is too big, too powerful, too disconnected from our daily lives that they don't understand us. So this is a very important case before the Supreme Court. Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi's Health Center will basically decide whether the Supreme Court believes that abortion should be a federal law, something the feds are in charge of, or something that states have the right to manage themselves. That the lower the level we go of government, the more impact it should have on your local community. That you'll have the right to vote people out if you don't like the laws in your state. Or better yet, and I think this is very important, because we're seeing a lot of this in America that we haven't seen before. We used to see people move and transition in America for opportunity. There's a lot of people now moving and transitioning, not for the opportunity, but to move to a state that is like-minded, to move someplace that is run by politicians and a government that believes what you believe and creates an environment and a living condition where your power, your party, your people are in control of the laws that you agree with. For example, we're learning the exact opposite. We thought people would leave, you know, California and New York in droves because they hated the liberalism, that they'd hate the high taxes, that they'd move. What we're finding is just the opposite. The New Yorkers that are moving to Florida are conservative. They're retired cops. They're taking retirements at 48 after 25 years on the police force. Full benefits from the state of New York. They're conservative. They're in law enforcement. They're moving to Florida. They're soaking up the sun. They're enjoying the conservatism of Florida. And they're finding a second act while cashing in their pension checks. People are doing this right and left. They're smart. People will figure it out. But mostly, and this is a very human thing, mostly what we all want is to be around people that are like-minded. We really don't, Christians really don't want to be around and sit and talk religion with Buddhists, for example. They just don't. It doesn't mean that they don't like other people or couldn't find some common ground with other people, but things as simple as language barriers. Do you want to spend all of your waking moments with someone who doesn't speak your language? The answer is no. When I say like-minded people, it's not just in philosophy, in thought, it's that they're similar to you. In my case, it's people that like sports, people that are conservative, people that like to play golf, the things that we enjoy doing. That's who you want to be around. I don't have a lot of friends that are big tennis players. Most of my friends are golfers. We golf together. It's what we do. You're just, you find your way to have your circle of people. You get to choose your friends. Your circle of people like and do the same things that you do. It's very common and it's very human. There's nothing to apologize for. It is not exclusive. You can be an inclusive person. You can be accepting of other people. You can love all people. You can have great Christian faith, great Christian beliefs. You can have all these things, but still spend most of your time around friends that like the same things you do, eat the same kind of food you do, probably live close to where you do, have made a lot of the same choices in life that you do. I've also found that so many of my friends own their own business. They're type A personalities. They have started their own small businesses. We all have that in common. I always knew I would start a small business. I always knew that. I wanted to be a sportscaster, and I didn't know how I was going to start my own business and be a sportscaster, and I was torn by that. But I look around at all my friends. They're either they own their own business or they manage other people. They're in a corporate structure where they're managers, so they run sort of a small operation of a bigger company. I don't know how that's the case. There are plenty of people in my neighborhood that do not fit into that category. I know all kinds of people that don't fit into that category, but we don't seem to hang out with those people as much. We have life experiences. We have highs and lows. We have good days and bad days with our businesses. We've seen things through COVID with the economy changing, all of these things. We have these stories in common. We've all had different levels of success. We've all had good years and bad years. But we really find a life experience, sharing our experience with those people that we have in common. And so here we are at the Supreme Court, and what most conservatives, libertarians, Republicans, whatever would have in common is we don't like the federal government. We think it has gone too far. We think we're disconnected. We think we have no control over it. It doesn't feel like we can do anything other than if we don't like what we're doing or like the state we're in, we can move to another state. I have a couple of siblings that are very, very active liberals. And they both live in very conservative states, and it drives them crazy. It's driving them crazy, and I don't understand it because they could both move. They could both move. I would do that. If I get to a place where living in Kansas or Missouri, which are my two main choices here with what I do, I'm telling you right now, if these things flip completely liberal and go nuts, I'm out of here. I'm moving to Texas or Florida. I'll do my podcast from there. I'm not doing it. I'm tempted to do it now just because the tax laws and the things that we could do, but I'm not going to do that. My mom lives here. I've said that. I'm not. This is where I'm from. It's where I live. It's conservative enough for me. The states are in control. I'm good with that. Biden can't really do much damage in Missouri and Kansas. They both won lawsuits this week to protect healthcare workers' rights to work if they're unvaccinated. That's the state doing its job. This is that. It will not be portrayed to you as you're going to hear a lot about this case, Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi. That's not the way it will be portrayed in the media. It will be portrayed in the media that the morality part, these are crazy people on the right. They want to control your body. They want to tell you this and that. That's not what this is. This is a states' rights case. And I will tell you right now, in almost any case, whether it's abortion or anything else, I will support California's rights right now to do all the things they do. They're way too liberal for me. I hate some of the things they do. I think it's oppressive to business, oppressive to people. The crime is out of control. I see everything going wrong in California, and it makes my, when I was younger and worked at Channel 4, I traveled to California a lot on business with Channel 4. I was there tons. I was in LA, San Diego. I went to San Francisco. I traveled to California a lot. NCAA tournaments, Chiefs games, different events. I spent a week one time in California as George Brett was getting ready to retire, doing a little documentary we did at Channel 4 on George Brett's career, and went to El Segundo High School where he played baseball as a high schooler and met all these people that he'd known for years and years and years. I went to California a lot, and I loved it, and I thought it was cool. And it was cool then. You know, Reagan had just been president, for crying out loud. California was cool. It's not cool anymore. It's a pigsty. It's a crap show. It's all those things. But I'll defend their right to be their own crap show. If they don't like it, they'll have to change it or move. And that's where we are. And I'll defend their right to all of those things. But I will also defend Mississippi's right to have its own laws. This country was, the genesis of this thing, the beginning of all of it was, well, we're 50 now. It certainly wasn't 50 in the beginning. It was 13 original colonies, right? The idea is we are all individual states. We have one federal branch that does very little. It brings us together. We have representation. We're going to need to build bridges and roads and have a defense and an army and things like that. But my state is my state. Your state is your state. We're going to run this the way we want, and you're going to run it the way you want. That's the way this was set up. And I believe in that. I believe in that with all my heart because it feels like we can do something at the state level. It feels like we can do things with our city, our school board, our county. I get a newsletter. I get communications from a group called the Northeast Johnson County Conservatives. And there's an organization called the Johnson County Charter Commission that meets. And I received this week. And I think we can do something about this. This is the difference between the federal government and your local government. And this is important even if you don't live in Johnson County, because this is probably happening in your county or your city. We spent a lot of time over the last couple of months talking about nonpartisan elections. I think it's one of the biggest issues that nobody is talking about in this country. I think it is extremely important, and I'm going to do everything in my power when the new governor is in Kansas next year to get with local politicians and try to get something passed at the state level that there are no nonpartisan elections in the state of Kansas. We should do the same thing in Missouri. The Northeast Conservatives right now are petitioning the Johnson County Charter Commission that they are at it again. They want to change the Johnson County Sheriff election going forward to a nonpartisan election. There is only one reason the, quote, Charter Commission wants to do this. The only reason they want to do this is they want to get the Sheriff's Department to be woke. They want to back off and not be tough on crime. They want to release criminals into the street. They want equity. This is all they talk about. So there's an action needed before the December 6th meeting, before the Charter Commission, and a letter has been drafted. If you want to go to Northeast Johnson County Conservatives, you can go to their website and you can sign the petition that basically says, "Dear Charter Commission members, we understand you're considering making the sheriff election nonpartisan. This is a misguided idea that's bad for the county. It's a charade that confuses voters. Candidates can hide behind the nonpartisan lack of labeling, misrepresenting their true agendas. Identifying the party of each candidate is a critical piece of information that allows voters to properly vet candidates' positions on critical issues. If someone truly wants to hide their affiliation, they can run as an independent." There are more paragraphs to this, but that's exactly right. You need to declare something if you're running for office. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm a Libertarian. I'm a Green Party candidate. I don't know. I'm the Mars candidate. Whatever you want to declare yourself as, you cannot be nonpartisan. You have to put something by your name. Bernie Sanders calls himself an independent, for crying out loud. Because the left of the Democrat Party isn't far enough. He's a communist. He should have to put on there that he's a communist. But he doesn't. At least he declares himself an independent. Nonpartisan elections have to go. That's sort of what's at issue all the way to the top of the Supreme Court with Dobbs versus Jackson, Mississippi. This is a states' rights issue. All hell's going to break loose. All hell is going to break loose. Okay? If the Supreme Court sides with the states, which could essentially lead to overturning Roe versus Wade, they will go crazy because those are the people that believe the federal government is awesome. They want the federal government to control everything. They want the federal government to tell, "I live in Lenexa." They want Joe Biden's policies to be adopted by the city of Lenexa, for example. You want a mandate? We'll give you a mandate. Right now, Joe Biden says he wants to do a 7-day quarantine. If you travel out of the country, you come home and you get locked down for 7 days, whether you're vaccinated, whether you test negative, whether anything. They want to lock you down. If you go on vacation, I got a buddy that's going on a cruise this holiday season. Take his family on a wonderful Christmas cruise on that biggest ship in the world thing, right? They can't wait to go. They don't mind wearing masks. They're all vaccinated. They don't care, right? They're conservative. They don't care. This bothers me. Walking around a ship looking at people wearing masks doesn't sound like vacation to me. But anyway, I couldn't get on the ship anyway. They don't want me. Great, so I'm not going. So he's going to go. He's going to leave the country. You're telling me Joe Biden? How exactly is this going to work? If that family comes back to Lenexa after their trip, how exactly are they going to take the wife, the mom, the dad, and the kids and lock them down in their house for 7 days? Exactly how is that going to work? And what's the point? Because when you land back at KCI, you're not locked down until you get home. What, you can stop at Nick and Jake's for lunch on your way home? Your lockdown doesn't start until you get home? What are they going to do? They're going to put you in a special paddy wagon, a quarantine wagon, a bubble wagon, and drive you to your house and lock you down? How exactly are these stupid things going to work? But the same people that are going to go crazy if something happens to Roe versus Wade are not going to recognize that in liberal states, nothing's going to change with abortion. Nothing will change in California or New York or Illinois or any of these big liberal states. Nothing's going to change there. If it doesn't change there, why do they care what they do in Mississippi? And if you've waited 4 months and all of a sudden you've said, I want to get an abortion, and it's really that important to you to take a 4-month baby out of your womb and kill it, couldn't you drive to Illinois? It's not that far. Couldn't you just do that? I mean, seriously, the wackos on the left and what they look at, and I think this, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a legal scholar. I have no clue what's going to happen in this case. I don't know the specifics of the case. All I know that essentially Roe versus Wade federalizes abortion. And this could overturn that and return it to the states. I think that's a fabulous idea. People on the left are not going to think that's a fabulous idea, but they don't like states' rights. They don't like states' rights, period. That's the underlying root cause of all this stuff with abortion. It's not really a moral argument. It's not really a, you know, people want to just make it about morality and my body, my rights, all this other stuff. You just don't, I don't know that you have that right. You live in a state, a collection of states has a federal government, and to me, it's all overreach. And I'm not just talking about abortion. I'm talking about everything. I think the federal government is way too involved in our lives, way too involved in everything that we do. And we're all sitting here and never have the Americans thought less of the federal government than now, you know, after COVID, after watching the Biden administration for 9 months do this stuff. So get involved. If you're in Johnson County, sign this petition. Keep the sheriff's election partisan. Put it on the ballot. Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? That's an easy call. We should have that on these elections. And every time they try to take that away, these are people that believe only in the federal government, that they believe the federal government should be dictating things to us at our local level. We have to become more active in the local level. We have to do things to help where it matters most. Dr. Oz has done that this week. Dr. Oz has stepped up. You know Dr. Oz from TV, Mehmet Oz, as a heart surgeon, a television doctor, all those things. He's running for Senate in the state of Pennsylvania. He has released a video that says Washington tried to kill our spirit and dignity through COVID. And he's exactly right. It's federal overreach. Everybody has seen it. Dr. Oz can't believe it. He is completely the opposite of Anthony Fauci. He believes that the therapeutics that we had, like hydroxychloroquine and other things very early on, should have been implemented. He thinks patients should have had their choice through their doctor. He believes in the therapeutics. He doesn't believe COVID is as bad as people on the left. He believes he should run for office to repay the debt of how great America's been to his family. This is like Enos Kanter, the basketball player whose name is now, by the way, the Celtics player renamed himself after becoming an American citizen. His new name is Enos Freedom. Enos Kanter Freedom. But on the back of his Celtics jersey, it simply says Freedom. He is showing the world. He is a shining light. He is a beacon for people in China, people in Turkey, people everywhere that are oppressed under socialism and communism and dictatorships, that America is freedom and she is beautiful and she is glorious. And his absolute legal new name is Enos Freedom. That's cool. These are people that came from other countries. Dr. Oz's parents came from another country. They immigrated legally. He was taught very young, you have an opportunity here that didn't exist where we were. He became a heart surgeon. And now he's got all the money he could ever want. He wants to pay back by getting into the Senate and doing the work, the calling that he feels to help people. I think it's awesome. I think we see a lot of this everywhere. Where we don't see it is on the left. We see people on the left enriching themselves, getting to Congress and becoming rich. Nancy Pelosi is maybe at the top of that list. She has been seen now at a DC party for the California State Society. This is a highbrow event. Literally, there are 25 people in the picture around the room. Every single one of them is white. Every single one of them is wearing a mask, except Nancy Pelosi. The pictures are at Breitbart.com. This shows her arrogance. It makes you ask the question, why? They run around all the time and tell you to wear masks and do all this stuff. Why? The invitation to the party said everyone 2 years of age and older must wear a mask. Why does she not have her mask on? She knows she's going to get photographed. She knows it's going to be out there. This is hubris. This is arrogance. This is, it's not for me. It doesn't count for me. You're all wearing masks for me. I'm vaccinated. You're here at this event. This is my event. Same thing when Joe Biden steps to the podium. He's speaking. Everybody else in the room is wearing one. He doesn't even have one on him. This is about me. You will all wear masks because of me, because I tell you to wear masks. It's really awful. I mean, it's really unbelievable how arrogant these people are. And here she is at an all-white event mandating that two-year-olds wear masks, and she's walking around without one. Look, the outrage of them not wearing the masks is over. We're past that. We know they don't wear them when we're not looking. We know this. Anybody with a brain knows this is happening. The question we're not asking again here is, why are they doing this? What is this all about? And it's very simple. There is no logical answer other than, I'm better than you. This doesn't apply to me. I don't have to wear this mask. I'm better than you. It's another reason why people don't listen to these mandates. They hear them and it's become white noise. They want to know why conservatives aren't getting the jab and why they're not wearing masks and why they don't like the mandates. Well, they know that the jig is up. It's fake. This is fake. We're not fake. Conservatives aren't fake. We have the courage to step up and say, this is how it is. This is who we are. We're not fake. We don't run around and try to convince people that we're good people when we do all these weird things behind closed doors in our private lives. We don't do that. Most conservatives I know are like, yeah, I drink too much, or I shouldn't smoke these cigars, or, you know, I got a bunch of guns and I got a giant safe, and I think people, I want to protect my home. We just are who we are. We say what we are. This is who we are. It's the way we live. Doesn't mean we're perfect. All kinds of people with all kinds of problems are conservative, but we're pretty out there in saying it. Liberals seem to hide behind it. We always seem to find out with liberals that they're really weird, like Jeffrey Epstein and the stuff that he did and the liberals that he ran with. These were creepy people. These were creepy, depraved people who lived a public life of, oh, we're the high society, we're the best, we're the smartest. No, you're weird. You're weird and criminal in many ways, and disgusting and despicable. And we see that. And Pelosi's a shining example. And she's, look, these pictures that come out, they're just, that's the reason people aren't listening. It's quite obvious that's why people aren't listening. People are listening to KKHI, and I'm happy for that. I posted some pictures on Twitter yesterday, at KK Has Issues. Go check them out. From my new garage floor, from RaisingGarageFloors.net. Pretty remarkable, the work that John did. And he was here himself. This is a great small company. He's an American patriot. He's a veteran. He and his wife run this company. Their garage floors are, it is amazing. It's amazing. And I know we have a lot of nice things in our new home. We're very pleased to have this. I have better windows than I had before, for example. I like my floors better, my countertops. I got all these things that are a little nicer than what we had before. That's great. But what I really love is that garage floor. It's like adding a giant room to your house. It feels like part of the house, not the garage, when you do this. When you paint your garage and do the garage floor, you're going to be amazed. That's why they call it AmazingGarageFloors.net. Back Nine Development, my man TJ Vilkanskis. I'm going to say this. We had a guest on the show very early on, General Richard Myers, who is the outgoing president at Kansas State University. He was the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He lives in Manhattan, and they're looking at condos at the Solheim at Grandmere. I suspect he will have a residence somewhere else, and that will be his Manhattan residence. When he is in Manhattan, he loves Kansas State. Been the president for many years, and he is outgoing at K-State. The new president's coming in, but I know he was touring because I know the person whose condo he toured. So I'm not telling anything. It's just, the word's going to spread. I might as well share it with you. So General Myers is looking at these condos, the Solheim at Grandmere, but you may want to look at the condos or consider a custom home, commercial property, or room addition anywhere in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Back Nine Development, my man TJ. Upper end stuff here. Back numeral 9 development.com. Oh, and the Finch Knife Company, Spencer reached out to us and said, a lot of you were responding to this with the Finch Knife Company and their beautiful pocket knives. You're collectors, you're carriers, you're looking for a mother of pearl handle, a wood, bone, beautiful pocket knives. They cost, these pocket knives for other labels, other manufacturers can be up to $500 or more. Price point here, $89 to about $150. I've got the Cherry Bomb and I love it. It's a really cool knife. It's a great conversation piece. Social media will not help these people promote their company. Instagram has denied them access. There is no boosting. They can't get help in advertising because they're knives. And the liberals are controlling all the social media. So they called us and said, hey, what about Kevin Keatsman has issues? Says, let's give it a try. And many of you were responding. You want to support a great local company, a small company. Guys, just a startup here. They've been in business for a little less than 2 years. FinchKnifeCo.com. FinchKnifeCo.com. Look for them at Teague Tractor as well in Missouri. I think that's in Belton. It's the only retail location in the Kansas City area right now is Teague Tractor. So look it up if you want to go. A lot of you want to handle it, feel it for yourself, see what it looks like. Great. Go do that. And if you're a retailer, you have a business in Kansas City and you would like to stock Finch knives, contact me. Kevin at kkhasissues.com. That's Kevin at kkhasissues.com. If you want to put them in your store, if you have a sporting goods store, if you have something you want to sell these knives, get a hold of me. If you're one of these shooting stores or one of these other places, you should be stocking these knives. They will sell. They're beautiful pieces of art, and people love a traditional pocket knife. FinchKnifeCo.com. Go get them, boys. That's a great local company. All right, a college football playoff is out. Right now, it would be Georgia versus Cincinnati, Alabama versus Michigan. I don't think it's going to stay that way. I think Georgia is going to beat Alabama. Bama's going to get knocked out. We are going to have an amazing college football playoff without Ohio State, without Alabama, and without Clemson. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If Oklahoma State beats Baylor, and I do not think it will be easy, if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, I think they're going to make it. I think after all these years, all the heartbreak, I mean, think about if you're an Oklahoma State fan, all the times you've been kicked in the crotch by Oklahoma. You've got a terrific coach in Mike Gundy. Your program's clearly been one of the top 15 programs over the last decade in America. They seemingly win 9 games every year, and they lose to Oklahoma at the end of the season. It's what they do. They were about to lose to Oklahoma Saturday night when they came back and they won. And now they're on the cusp of making the college football playoff. Oklahoma is not in the championship game. They won't have to play them in a rematch. Oklahoma's not in. Oklahoma's not in the college football playoff. They've lost their head coach. They're losing recruits right and left. They've lost their 5-star quarterback. The number 2 player in the country is now committed to USC. He flipped and went with Lincoln Riley. They are devastated at Oklahoma. Their idiot chancellor, Joe Haraz, is down there holding news conferences saying, well, we would have liked to have had more notice that Lincoln Riley was leaving. Really, this is the Oklahoma president that orchestrated leaving the Big 12. You're a fool. You're an idiot. Oklahoma, you're getting every stinking thing you deserve. Nobody likes you except your fans, period. It's, you're no better or worse than Texas at this point. Nobody cares. Goodbye. You're going off into oblivion. You're going to be an also-ran in the SEC, and everybody in the Big 12 is going to laugh their ass off at you and love it. Sorry, it's not personal. Some of you are Oklahoma fans. Fine. It's not your fault. It's the idiots running your school. Your coach, your quarterback, your players, everything would still be intact if Oklahoma had not left for the SEC. You did this to yourself. I've described it with Oklahoma and Texas as football suicide. They've done it for money, so the people that work there, the athletic directors, the people in the department, the coaches, so all the people running your athletics department can make more money. That's all this is about. There will be more money, and they will make more money. It is not good for the fans. It does not equate to more wins. It doesn't give you a better chance to make the college football playoff. There's nothing good here for Oklahoma and Texas. I'm sorry, there isn't. There is not. There hasn't been for anyone that left the Big 12. It hasn't been better at Missouri. Their football fortunes are down. Hasn't been better for Nebraska. Their football fortunes are down. Hasn't been good for Colorado. Their football fortunes are down. Hasn't been good for A&M, actually. They're about the same, I guess, as they were, although they were playing in championship games in the Big 12. They made runs. They had chances. They're not going to do that in the SEC. Seems pretty obvious at this point. So I'll say that they're an open case right now because they've had some success. But I don't see any way that Oklahoma is going to be better off in the SEC. This is football suicide. They get what they deserve. So if you're an Oklahoma State fan, this is like the greatest week of your life. You're watching Oklahoma implode. They stabbed you in the back. You have a chance to win a game. You have a chance to get in the college football playoff. They're in disarray. You have a chance to be the program in Oklahoma that gets Oklahoma's top recruits. It is not a great recruiting state, but what a difference that will be. If Oklahoma State's playing in the college football playoff and winning the Big 12, and Oklahoma's coach is gone and everything's falling apart and we don't know who's next, and their future is uncertain and they're headed to the SEC, and you're a football player in Edmond, Oklahoma, I'm thinking about Stillwater. I think it's great. Go Oklahoma State. I hope they get in the playoff. I think that would be phenomenal. If they do get in the playoff, they will likely, you know what, they might pass Cincinnati. I don't know. I think they'll probably be number four and have to play Georgia. You know what? Oklahoma State's got a good defense. They might be able to play one of those 16 to 10 games and have a chance. We'll see. Out at Arrowhead Stadium, Kyle Long has been activated. He's an offensive lineman. He's a veteran offensive lineman. And I've felt all along that there was something different about this season. We spent some time talking on the Patreon podcast Tuesday with Danny Klinkscale about this. I know it, and with Pete Mundo on Mundo's show on Monday morning, he asked me, I don't know why one game would make much of a difference, but I feel like one game added to the schedule has really changed the NFL this year. That most teams have sort of just been like the Kentucky Derby, or a NASCAR race. They've just been jockeying for position, and now the calendar is going to flip to December, and it's go time. I really feel that. Watching the Chiefs play, you couldn't not think that. They didn't look like at times they were trying hard enough. Their defense was not flying around. They were not physical. They were not making plays. The defense was abysmal. The offense was not taking care of the football. They didn't seem to care. It was like an extension of the preseason. We're just going to go play our way through a few games. We know when it starts to get cold in December, it's go time. I think activating Kyle Long is like that. I know Kyle Long got hurt, but he got hurt in August, right? Kyle Long got hurt. I think Kyle Long, the day they signed him, they thought, well, this isn't a guy that can play 20 games for us. This isn't a guy that's going to play 17 regular season games and then maybe go into the playoffs and play three more. We didn't sign Kyle Long to play 20 games. So it actually works out. Kyle Long's a veteran presence. We assume over the next few weeks he could work his way into some meaningful snaps, improving the depth, if nothing else, on the offensive line. He's been a gifted player in his career. He's going to be healthy and fresh and ready to play a two-month season. That sounds about right to me. Doesn't that sound about right to you? And maybe there needs to be more of that. And maybe roster management is a big deal. We see teams like the Packers with all these injuries, but they're still winning and they're very good. Maybe it's about roster management. Maybe coaches are sitting players for lesser injuries this year saying, you know what, just take a couple weeks off. The season is a little longer. The 17th game shouldn't sound like it means more, but it sort of does mean more. Adding that extra game has made a difference. I know it sounds strange, but it's changed the way football teams have approached the season. There's no explaining it. Nobody came out house of fire and went 9-0. The Arizona Cardinals are the closest. They're the team to watch. They got to 7-0, I think, right? And then they've gone 2-2 since. Their quarterback got hurt. Injuries matter. Not saying they don't. But let's watch the Arizona Cardinals. Let's see if the team that got off to the hottest start, the fastest start, is also the one that is most likely to fizzle out. Because it's kind of looking that way. We're seeing some teams that we thought were going to be pretty good start to step up as the season goes on. That includes the Chiefs, who've won 4 in a row. After a rough go, they've won 4 in a row. I'm going to be really, you know, the Raiders got off to a good start, fizzled out. Cowboys were looking good, looking terrible. A lot of teams that started rough are looking really good. And the Chiefs are right there with them. Nobody played worse in week one than the Packers. Nobody. And right now, if you were doing power rankings with the Packers, would you rank them as your number one team? You'd certainly put them in the top three. They'd be right there. No matter how you rank them, they'd be right there. I'm fascinated by this, and I do think coaches approached it differently. And I think they understand it's too hard to play all these games. Maybe they've gone too far. Maybe they need a snap count. I don't know, but I think coaches are manipulating this a little bit. Hey, this guy's got a bad ankle. Let's just sit him this week. Let's just give him a week off. We get a bye. If you can also get some rest by resting a guy a week and give some individuals a bye week or playing them less in a game, maybe only 15 or 20 snaps instead of 45 snaps for some defensive players, that's almost like taking a week off, getting them out of the game when you have a lead. There's a lot of ways you do this. I just think the whole thing's different this year. It shouldn't have been. It doesn't sound like it should have been, but I think it is. Your business can be different if you call 360 Document Solutions. Look, I can't state this any more plainly. If you have a small business, these folks can help you. It's going to save you money. They can make you more efficient. You can have better products and services at your business, and they'll give you the complimentary analysis. It's free. They'll just come consult with you, and if you don't want to buy anything or do anything with them, you don't have to. There's no pressure. But Mark Lindquist really knows what he's doing about how to make your business more productive and more efficient. And it doesn't matter what your business is. It can be anything. It can be phone systems, mail systems, IT solutions, copiers, printers, you name it. If you have business products at your business, they can help you. Even if you're a mom and pop or a stay-at-home business, they can make you more efficient. Contact Mark and talk to him about this. 913-745-5344. And don't forget, right now, if you know somebody that's afraid of losing their job because of mandates, 360 Document Solutions wants to meet you. They want strong-minded conservative professionals to work for them. IT technicians, sales representatives, executives, reach out to Mark and say, yep, I'm that guy. I'm a strong-minded conservative, and I think I can thrive with your company. Merriam Body Shop off I-35 and Johnson Drive in Merriam. State Farm preferred full collision repair, small jobs, door dings. They do the little things other guys won't because they really have two locations. It's sort of, they're about a mile apart. There's the body shop and then there's the dent center. And if you call them, they'll tell you where to go depending on what the work is that you need to have done. The dent center and the detail center are not in the same place as the full body shop for major collision. So that means they cover it all. They do all the things that the big body shops don't do. That's why you want to work with Merriam Body Shop. Call Justin, 913-362-1198. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team of outstanding orthodontists at Fry Orthodontics. Winter's a good time. You're indoors. You're maybe not around people after the holidays as much. January's a great time to get in and say, this is it. I want to do this. I'm going to get Invisalign. I'm going to perfect my smile. And your smile is just the start. Your confidence will be boosted. You'll feel better about yourself and those around you. Contact Fry Orthodontics for your first appointment, which is always free. 469-9191 for Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Okay, this is a crazy story. We have the second fastest women's swimming time this year in the NCAAs in college in the 200 meter, recorded by a University of Pennsylvania swimmer. Her name is Tia Thomas. She had a hell of a meet last week. She set several school records, and I mean, there's nothing else to say other than she's amazing. Her closest teammate in the 200 meter was 6.1 seconds behind her. She's just blowing away the field. She swept all the competitions last week. She won every individual event she was in, and this is remarkable. We're talking about blowing away the field, and she's going to set national records, it appears, and world records potentially, because she is... Well, she doesn't look like any swimmer you've ever seen before. She's just amazing. Tia Thomas became Tia Thomas a year ago. Before that, he was Will Thomas. Will Thomas swam at the University of Pennsylvania as a freshman, a sophomore, and a junior, and had almost no success. Not very good. Wasn't winning. Wasn't particularly competitive. Until he declared he's a woman. I don't know exactly what he altered. He took a year off, came back as she. She's Tia. She's swimming great. She's beating everyone. And this is the most ridiculously unfair thing I've ever seen in sports. I've seen, look, I'm not even saying this person did this to cheat, but clearly, it's more fun to win than lose. You know you love swimming. You're going to keep doing it after your gender re-whatever. This isn't right. This isn't fair. We need to have men's sports, women's sports, and transgender sports, period. That's it. If we're gonna be welcoming and inclusive, being inclusive is saying we recognize transgenderism, and we will provide opportunities for transgenders to compete against one another. I don't think that's unfair at all. In fact, it would be so inclusive. What if you have a woman that wanted to become a man? They couldn't be competitive at anything. But if you had a separate transgender category for transitioning from female to male, let them compete against each other. That seems reasonable to me. But they shouldn't be competing against males and females. This is ridiculous. This is absurd. Tia Thomas is like the hottest swimmer. Well, not that kind of hot. You might be in for a surprise. Yeah, I said that. She's the hottest swimmer in college right now at Penn, which Penn's Ivy League, right? University of Pennsylvania. Of course, it's woke and they're welcoming and do this. And we really don't care about being inclusive to females anymore. That's gone. Women's lib is over. We're not protecting females here. No. Hey, don't forget, all the way through Christmas, you can get to bstock.net in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. Save big on all things electronics, computers, televisions, accessories, you name it, it's all right there. And if you're looking for a free roof inspection with snow coming and ice and all that stuff, call Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. We're continuing to gain on Christmas Shining Star. We have locked down a time for me to shop with my children. December 11th is our date of choice. I have in front of me four children that we'll be shopping for. John Hutchins was here yesterday working on my garage floor. He said he's going to make a donation for a certain number of kids. I don't know what he said it was. Maybe it was five. He's going to donate for five kids, whatever. You can make a donation by calling Christmas Shining Star. I do not have a running tally of how that's working. It's working well because I got an email from Bridget yesterday, who was on the podcast last week, and she said she got a phone call from one of you that donated $500 over the phone. That's incredible. Call the donor line for Christmas Shining Star. We've got about 400 kids we need to buy gifts for. It's $60 per kid. Our goal here at KKHI is to raise $5,000 dedicated straight to these kids at Christmas Shining Star. 816-659-8243. That's 816-659-8243. I received a check in the mail yesterday from someone who's donated $1,000. Some of you are saying, hey, can I just mail it to you and you give it to them? I can. Make it out to them. I'll present them all at once. More than happy to give you my address if you want to send the check here. You'll know it's legit because it's going to come through your bank. Don't even think for a second about any of this not being on the up and up. I don't have a staff. We don't have a bunch of other people. It's me. It's just me. It's going to the charity. These kids are going to get their presents, period. I'm going to personally drive it to them. This is going to happen. So if you, anyway, I just want to make this easy for you, whatever's easiest. If it's easiest to call the donor hotline, call 816-659-8243. I do not have a tally on those. At the end, I will get a tally from Christmas Shining Star, and we'll know how many thousands were donated that way. We're running at about 30... I think we're getting close to $4,000 through basically the patron program and donations that are coming into me that I'm matching. I said I'm going to match up to $5,000. If you want to become a patron, sign up to become a patron right now for $5, $50, $100, and whatever you sign up for, I'm giving to Christmas Shining Star, and I'm going to match it and give it to Christmas Shining Star. So we're running a tally on that. It's going to be up to $5,000. We're going to do that. I'm going to match it. Then at the end of the month, I'll tell you when it's time. You can take your donation down, your pledge down. You can quit the patron program if you want. I'm going to let everybody know that you can do this. I'll remind you to reduce what it was you did or back out of the program or whatever you want to do. If you want to do it that way and try the patron programming for a month, that essentially, you know, a lot of people do, hey, try this for free. That isn't try this for free. That's donate this to charity to try it. That's what it is. No contract, cancel at any point. KKHasIssues.com. Sign up to become a patron. I'm going to double. It's going to be double whatever you pledge. You pledge $5, they're going to get 10. You pledge 50, they're going to get 100. It's going to get doubled. I'm going to match you. So sign up to become a patron. If you'd like, you can cancel at the end of the month. I will remind you to cancel or lower it down if you like the service to just $5. Do it, kkhasissues.com, or call 816-659-8243. We're doing great. These kids need Christmas presents, and I'm excited about this. Christmas Shining Star, it helps kids in Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Joe. That's where it helps them. There are other branches of this charity in different parts of Kansas City. To me, I'll tell you my thinking, because I'm full disclosure and honest with all these things that I do. Maybe this is bad. Maybe there's a bias involved here, whatever. I don't know. But I do believe these are going to kids in the urban area that need it more than a charity in Leawood, okay, or Blue Springs, or Lee's Summit. Maybe I'm by Lenexa. I live in Lenexa. I got nothing against all these great charities in Lenexa. I just feel like if we're shopping for kids and these people are screening kids, Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Joseph, Missouri, the city of St. Joe, I don't know. It seems like the right thing to do. Maybe I shouldn't even bring it up. I just believe that. Let's help these kids. Christmas Shining Star. Call the number 816-659-8243 or join the patron program. If you're already a patron, up your pledge this month in the patron program, whatever amount you want, and it's going to get doubled straight to Christmas Shining Star, and then I'll remind you to take it back down where it was. We will do that. It'll all just go through there. It's an easy way for me to tally, and it's an easy thing for you to do. I'm just trying to make this as easy as I possibly can for Christmas Shining Star. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to KKHI. Don't forget to hit that like or follow button. If you haven't done it, hey, many of you say, I hear you say it all the time, but I haven't done it. Please do it. Take the time. Get with your spouse. Get with your kid. Get with somebody and say, look, show me how to do this. How do I hit like or follow on this podcast? Don't blow it off. Please hook us up a little bit. It really helps in getting the word out of the podcast if we can get a big number of followers to the podcast. So hit the like or follow button. That's absolutely free. Don't put that off any longer. You'd be doing us a huge favor if you could do that, if you like KKHI. And thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.